Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O cheering voice of Jesus, which comes to aid our strife, the foe is stern and eager, the fight is fierce and long, but thou hast made us mighty and stronger than the strong. Amen. As we have progressed throughout this season of Epiphany, we've heard more and more readings that reveal who and what Jesus is. So you remember back at the beginning, the day of Epiphany, we begin with the recognition that he is the Lord of all people, not only the Israelites. And from there, we move to Jesus putting himself in places where only sinners need to go. So he undergoes the baptism of John. Sometime later, Jesus shows up at a wedding feast and he graces them with a fine gift, a gift of overflowing wine. And in that we saw that Jesus fixes a problem that was not his own. Later on in his hometown, he reads from the Old Testament and he announces that the prophecies of the Old Testament are fulfilled in hearing him. And throughout this time, Jesus has also healed many people. He has preached good news in many towns. And last week, we heard him choosing some men to come and follow him. And we know that later on, they will be sent to proclaim the deeds of Jesus, to reveal him to the rest of the world. And yet, as we've heard all of these readings, at the same time, we find out that he is not received well by everyone. The wise men seek Jesus. Herod tries to suppress him. The people that Jesus grew up around, they want to throw him off a cliff. And if you read through these early chapters of Luke's gospel, you will see that there is growing opposition to the things that Jesus says and the way that he does things. Even when Jesus is doing good things, like healing people, many people find fault. And throughout this season, we have seen a Jesus revealed who does not fit nicely and neatly into the categories that people want to place him in. Jesus is the newborn king, but he's born in a barn. He is without sin, and yet he goes to receive a sinner's baptism. He draws crowds as a doctor, but he runs away to be a preacher. And even there, even as the preacher, even as the Son of God sent into the world to reveal him, much of what Jesus says is not liked by the hearers. So maybe as Pastor Walter was reading our gospel reading today, maybe today's reading is no different. Did the gospel reading sit well with you? Or when you hear Jesus saying, "Woe to you who are rich," did that make you squirm? As we hear Jesus' sermon, it has some of that topsy-turvy stuff that's going on throughout the rest of the scriptures, the high being brought down low, the low being lifted up, the empty being filled, the full ending up empty. And when you hear it, I suppose how you feel depends on who you think you are. Are you poor? Are you rich? Are you hungry? Are you full? Are you weeping or laughing? Are you reviled or are you spoken well of? And if you look out just with our worldly eyes at the world today, I do not know that you could come back to us and say that you are anything but rich and full. But our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah tonight warns us, do not put your trust in man. Do not put your trust in man's judgments. Let us instead trust the Lord and what he says. Because how we stand before him, this is the key. Last week we heard from Isaiah 6 about a time when Isaiah was given a vision of the heavenly throne room. And this was, by the way, the church. Right, he was in the temple. Isaiah came before the Lord. He saw and he heard the angels worshiping God. Yet Isaiah is not encouraged at this sight. And he does not join in with their praise. Instead, he says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I've seen the Lord." And you may remember that Jesus, or the Lord, does not correct Isaiah on this point. In last week's gospel reading, Peter was astonished after the miracle of this huge catch of fish that starts to break his nets. But he is not astonished in a way where he turns around and thanks Jesus so much for the biggest catch of his life. No, Peter is astonished in a way that he immediately recognizes that he is in the presence of someone who is much bigger and much greater than he is. So Peter falls down and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." Likewise here, the answer from Jesus is not to disagree with Peter. For both Isaiah and Peter, when they come into the Lord's presence, they do not play up their wealth. They do not tell him of their greatness. They don't tell him about their good reputations in the world. They recognize the fact that they should not be there. They should not be where the Lord is. Their sins, their uncleanness, leads them to see that they do not fit there. Likewise, in our gospel reading this evening, we hear Jesus preach about the poor and the rich. And you have to ask yourself, where do I stand before him? Do you come to church with thoughts about how much you give to the Lord? About how well thought of you are by others? Or do you come and speak the words that we confess at the beginning of the service, something along the lines of being a poor, miserable sinner? You are by nature sinful and unclean. And when we do this, we do not look to others to vouch for us. We do not look for an excuse about why we sinned. We do not look for a way to pay off God or pay back with riches or with our works. Now, in our confession, we simply beg him for mercy. And what has been revealed to us, especially these last 2 weeks, is how God responds to this type of confession. When Isaiah says that he is a man of unclean lips, the Lord doesn't hire a surgeon for Isaiah, nor does he say that Isaiah, actually, you don't need to say anything. The Lord sends an angel, a messenger, with a coal from the altar. He touches Isaiah's lips and he says, "Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." When Peter tells the Lord to depart, Jesus does not go and depart, leaving Peter all alone. Instead, he tells Peter not to fear. He calls Peter to follow him. He says he will use Peter to call others. And when Jesus speaks about the poor in the sermon today, he doesn't tell them, "You know what, guys, you are in luck," that they are going to be blessed because for a short, limited time, God was going to give them millions of dollars. It's not what Jesus says. Jesus says they are blessed because the kingdom of God is theirs. And know that none of those responses by Jesus or by the Lord, none of those responses are worldly responses. The world has poured billions of dollars into defeating poverty. The world is perfectly willing to forsake those who have offended its sensibilities. For those with unclean lips, those who cannot praise what the world praises, for the world there is no solution beyond revulsion and exclusion. But you see in the Epiphany, in the season of Epiphany, and especially the readings that we've had the last couple weeks, that is not how God responds. What Jesus answers with is not worldly goods. Those are, as he says today, short-lived. The riches we have now will someday be used up. If you are full now, you know that within hours you'll be hungry. Laughter will end when it finds something that it cannot laugh at. And Jesus says the praise of the world is often spent on things that are false, are not even true. Instead, you see that God answers with forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. And God does not depart from us, rather he calls us. He tells us, do not be afraid. He joins with us. And to the poor, he does not give money. Rather, he gives a kingdom. We see in the gospel readings that Jesus is one who joins us in our poverty and our hunger. He joins us in our weeping and our exclusion in order that our reward would be great in heaven. As Jeremiah admits in our Old Testament reading this evening, all of our hearts are above all of our hearts are deceitful. Nevertheless, he turns to the Lord. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. This is what Epiphany is about. It is recognizing that our help comes from God in his Son, Christ Jesus. Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Save us, and we shall be saved. Amen.